You're listening to a DM podcast.
Hello and welcome to Kinky History, the podcast where we discuss all of the dirty little secrets they probably left out of your history books. I'm your host, Esme Louise James, and today we are talking about the history of rimming. Rimming has become a very hot topic in recent times. It has had an almost resurgence on the internet and really come into vogue in the Reddit forums. Memes about rimming have taken off like wildfire, and this has actually statistically been matched with an increase in rimming across the globe. So, what is rimming? Well, rimming is the act of using your lips or your tongue to orally pleasure someone else's asshole. In a very interesting study that was only done last year in Melbourne, it found that 1 in 5 people have practiced a little rimming in the last 3 months. Now, this is a fair amount of people when larger studies have actually found that 1 in 4 couples have practiced a little rimming. And in recent times, it has truly increased in fashion. So how do we account for this increased interest in a little bit of backdoor licking? Or perhaps a better question would be, why on earth should we care? Well, the thing is that sexual acts weirdly always tell us something about society. So just like when books become incredibly popular or TV shows catch on, we can learn a lot about society and how people are at that moment from things that become popular. And that includes sex acts. And in the case of rimming, it has always, throughout history, had various cultural significance. At times, it's been a very big political statement, and at others, it could literally get you charged for witchcraft. Now, while we've always enjoyed backdoor licking since the ancient times, I have only recently this week come across what I believe to be the oldest evidence of backdoor lick licks. It comes from ancient Egypt. Now, this little passage that I'm about to read for you comes from the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Inside it, we actually have a spell for driving back the eater of ass. And I wish I was making this up, but I'm not. We actually have a spell from the ancient world to drive back a demon who wants to eat your ass. And if that doesn't get you excited about history, I just don't know what will. Get back, O eater of ass, abomination of the god who hath dwell in the deep. I know you. I know you. I know you. Down on your face, fiend, for I am pure. You shall not approach me. You who comes without invite or warning. I am the master of your mouth, so stand back, you and your bottomless desires. That is potentially one of my favorite finds of the week. And perhaps this may be useful for any of the demons of ass eating that you have in your life today. But it's not just ancient Egypt, which we see evidence of rimming throughout. It actually forms a really important part of our history, particularly in the medieval period. Eating ass is at once everywhere and nowhere throughout history. For a long time, sex acts just became something that was so common to be explored that there wasn't really any point of accounting for them. Kind of like eating or drinking or shitting, it was just a bodily function and pleasure was meant to be enjoyed. Perhaps one of the reasons that we really see any account of rimming come back in the medieval period is because this is the time where we really change what it means to have a relationship with our bodily functions. The church, the Christian church, takes a lot of dominance, especially throughout Europe, and the body becomes something that is sinful and dirty.
The body considered sinful means that the lower to the ground you were, the further you were from God. So the backside, understandably, was considered the filthiest part of the body. And for this reason, it's often associated with the devil.
If you see any medieval illustrations of Satan, you may have wondered why on earth his face is so often on his butt. Well, it's for this reason. The devil and Satan were actually associated with the butt. Why this took on such cultural significance as well was because it became associated with witchcraft throughout the medieval period. Now, if you've ever watched Sabrina, you may well know the story that witches will write their name in the book of the devil when they want to become a witch. Well, look, this is the clean version of history. The dirtier, perhaps more commonly known at the time, version was that the person wouldn't just write their name in the book of the devil, but she would in fact rim Satan. This practice became known as oculus in flame, or the kiss of shame. It was believed that to become a witch, you would kiss the butt of Satan. And it wasn't just in your initiation into witchcraft that this would happen. You would also kiss the butt of Satan every time that you met him in the woods. And if you acted out of line for a witch, this would also be your form of penance, to literally rim Satan. This wasn't just decided that one day witches would take part in this sex act that no one else knew about. It was decided that this sex act, which was pretty well known, would now be associated with witchcraft because of the backside's association with sin and the devil. So this fantastic snippet that I found from News from Scotland from 1592 actually explains the practice of witches rimming the devil as a form of penance. And it goes a little like this. And seeing that they tarried over so long, he at their coming enjoined them all to a penance, which was that they should kiss his buttocks in sign of duty to him, which being put over the pulpit bare, everyone did as he had enjoined them. Now, this little thing was actually published in like the equivalent of a newspaper today. So this guy is literally reporting on the fact that a load of witches went to the forest and were like, devil, forgive me. And he is like, well, kiss my butt. And honestly, if that was a religion, I can kind of get behind it. Now, this became so associated with witchcraft that there was actually an instance of people being charged with heresy because of butt kissing. This happened very famously in the story of the Knights from Templar. You may know them as the knights that were accused of heresy and convicted on Friday the 13th of 1307. But it is kind of strange for us to think today that the act that is now so common to us could once get you burned at the stake. One of my most recent discoveries, which I also found over Twitter, so love that for me, was that generally when you see manuscripts from the medieval period, they used to decorate them beautifully around the margins. This was basically done to hold people's attention from the actual work. So the margins would be filled with flowers and knights and beautiful drawings and a lot of rimming. This was weirdly common on medieval manuscripts. Illustrations of men kissing the ass of other men, or donkeys kissing the ass of men, or men kissing the ass of donkeys and gooses and monkeys and tigers, oh my. This was so strangely common. And this was because of the association of rimming with disordered morality. And so if you wanted to say that someone doesn't have any principles or they lack principles, you would depict them as an ass kisser. This was the easiest way to kind of get that message across. So having a man kiss the ass of the donkey in the margins of a medieval manuscript would indicate that the person that they were writing about was so lacking in any kind of ethics or principles that they performed a satanic ritual on the ass of a donkey. This actually continued far through history to depict politicians and other people in authority as ass kissers, a phrase which we still know today. Generally, we use it when we're trying to say someone's a suck up, but an ass kisser means that you're so lacking in principles that you're willing to kiss someone's butt. And that really hasn't changed over the last 500 years, something I find truly hysterical. Now, any conversation of rimming just wouldn't be complete if I didn't mention Mozart.
Mozart was a man of many talents. I'm sure you've heard some of his music at some stage in your life.
One song that I don't believe that you would have played or that we play to make babies intelligent is a composition called Leck mich im Arsch, which in English means lick me in the ass. Now, surprisingly, this was just one of many of Mozart's compositions about ass licking. Ass licking was just an inside joke that Mozart was obsessed with all throughout his life. Now, after his death, his wife, Constance Mozart, sent a collection of all of his compositions to the publishers, and a few of them came with little notes saying that they may well need to be adapted. Leck mich im Arsch was definitely one of those compositions. And it was, for a time, changed from lick me in the arse to let us be glad. But luckily for us, in 1991, an unadulterated version of the manuscript was refound. So we do, in fact, have all of the original lyrics. Lick my arse, let us be glad. Grumbling is in vain, growling, droning is in vain, is the true bane of the life. Groaning is in vain, growling, droning is in vain. Thus, let us be cheerful and merry, be glad, and lick me in the arse. Now, this is just, as I say, one of many of Mozart's compositions about arse licking. One that I actually find far more interesting was a composition originally by Wenzel Trinker called Nothing Pleases Me More Than Wine. I think Mozart took that song and decided there was another culinary delight which deserved much more musical celebration. And so, once again, he adapted a song, and this time he called it Lick My Ass Right Well and Clean. Lick my ass nicely, lick it nice and clean, lick my ass. That's a greasy desire, nicely buttered. Like the licking of roast meat, my daily activity. Three will lick more than two, come on, just try it. And lick, 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 everyone lick their ass for themselves. Now, this was a beautiful canon written in six rounds, so if you have six friends, I utterly suggest that you take this song and you try it for yourself. I'm not quite sure how Mozart assumed that everyone would be able to lick their ass for themselves. All I can assume is that Mozart was potentially a far more flexible man than we knew him to be, which I think is why it's so important to add this song back into our history of him. But it wasn't just songs that Mozart liked to write about ass licking. He actually has a series of letters all about the joys of ass licking and poop. In fact, Benjamin Simkin has estimated that 39 at least of Mozart's letters all have to do with poop and ass licking. Most of these letters were written to his love interest and also his first cousin, Mary Ann, at the age of about 20. I now wish you a good night. Shit in the bed with all your might. Sleep with peace on your mind and try to kiss your own behind. I think Mozart is at times expressing a desire that's quite similar to that expressed by many people today, that of being able to pleasure yourself without the aid of another human lover. Of course, the act of actually licking your ass yourself would really require the removal of a fair amount of ribs, but I really appreciate that Mozart had the pipe dream. Mozart's mum also wrote a lot of dirty letters in the same vein to her husband. Freud probably has something to say about this, but Mozart and his mum also wrote these kind of letters to one another. Like, everyone in their family were writing these weird jokes about poo and shit and ass licking. This final part of the letter of one of them really kind of illustrates that perhaps it was a little less serious at times than we may believe. By the love of my skin, I shit on your nose so it runs down your chin. I don't think Mozart intended to be entirely taken seriously by his desire to shit on his cousin's skin and lick it from her nose. But it was definitely sexually connotated. You know, at the same time that Mozart is writing these letters, we have the likes of the Marquis de Sade, who is a very famous or infamous pornographer, who was writing quite often about rimming. It was definitely sexual. Mozart's letters and this weird, non-serious but erotic kind of shows that it was always a little bit of a joke. They don't have to be two separate things. It's kind of like the medieval manuscripts that we were speaking about, and the fact that you have men kissing the ass of goose in the margins of medieval manuscripts. These were meant to be humorous depictions, but at times they have sexual connotations. Going back in history, a lot more than I think today, we had this ability to laugh about sex. You know, while rimming can be awfully enjoyable, it can also be funny. When we look back and realize how silly sex can be at times, it's good to laugh at. I think it's healthy to laugh at. And I think perhaps we did that more in history than we do at times today. What I think is interesting when we find these scattered accounts of rimming throughout time is that we can see how it's transitioned in our cultural brain. If at times of the medieval period it was, you know, associated with witchcraft, at other times, you know, very serious accusations that could get you charged with heresy, it starts to transition into something that is more humorous than it is serious. If we're using it as political slander to call people ass kissers through caricatures, it takes on this comedic nature. And that is something that's, in a way, kind of beautiful about the history of ass kissing, is that we can see the kind of complex ways that our attitudes towards various sexualities can change over time. I think we kind of see by the time that Mozart's writing that it is funny, but it's also deeply sexual. He is writing these things to arouse his cousin in many, many ways, as weirdly problematic as that sounds. Now, if you've ever read the Marquis de Sade's works, you may have been taken back by how explicit and confrontational some of the erotic encounters in these works can be. But Marquis de Sade was the person in which we actually derive the term sadism from. And a lot of his works kind of glorify and celebrate sexual torture and violence in weirdly erotic ways. But when it came to ass kissing and rimming, the Marquis de Sade had this ability to see the humor while also making it kind of erotic. If it is the dirty element that gives pleasure to the act of lust, then the dirtier it is, the more pleasurable it was bound to be. Now that sentence is written about rimming, and so the tongue-in-cheek there is exactly what you think the dirtier element is. The Marquis de Sade has an ability to kind of laugh at sex and see how silly it is in the 18th century, which I think really signifies where our perception of rimming has moved to. It's no longer associated with witchcraft and heresy, but it's now something that is as equally erotic as it is humorous. So what does it mean today that rimming is truly on the rise? Well, I think a lot of listeners will probably find this quite humorous because, as many of us know, rimming is something that has been well known in the queer community for many, many years. But from statistics, it seems like the heterosexuals are just starting to catch on to this. And maybe that has to do with our more cultural awareness of different sexualities and various sexual acts. I think as our conversations about different sexualities and identities and genders have become more dominant in our cultural conversation, we start to see the possibilities of pushing the boundaries of what we're comfortable with. And when you have a partner or partners that you're willing and comfortable to explore these boundaries with, maybe rimming has been placed back on the table again. And perhaps one of the reasons that we are seeing this rise is because it has become a meme on a lot of social media. While we can laugh at memes and share memes, they are, by their definition, something that is spreading throughout cultural awareness. And if rimming is on the table for our internet searches, then it's probably going to end up in our bedrooms as well. And having a look at these statistics as well, when we are seeing now one in four sexual partners exploring rimming really for the first time, when we look at statistics from 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I think it has to do with these dominant cultural conversations. We are feeling that we have this kind of permission to explore our sexuality more in new ways. So if you associate yourself with the eater of ass from ancient Egypt, perhaps you're not a witch. Perhaps you're not even Satan. Perhaps you're not a heretic. Perhaps you're just willing to explore your sexuality. Pop on some Mozart. Read yourself some letters to get in the mood. You too can enjoy a little licky licky butt butt play. And that's all the rimming we have for this week. But next week, please join me here again for plenty more saucy, sexy secrets from the past. I have been your host, Esme Louise James. And if you find yourself really keen and thirsty for more kinky history, you can find me across TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Or if you want to keep yourself chaste, you can wait till next week on the podcast for plenty more kinky history.